This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
We are off and rolling. Happy Friday. May 30th, 2025 is the date. Welcome into the Gabe Kuhn Show. I am your host, Gabe Kuhn, on X at G_Kuhn71. I'm alongside the executive producer of the Gabe Kuhn Show. That would be Connor Dunning on X at C Dunning929. Connor, how's it going, brother?
What's up, man?
Good trivia last night. I know you went to Italian Fest. I said I was going to go, but the rain hit. Didn't want to bring my son over there in a stroller.
Makes sense.
That type of thing. How was it? All
Italian
good?
Fest was very fun.
Okay. Well, I'll be there over the weekend.
I'll be there tomorrow. I got Mission Impossible tonight. I can't wait.
You didn't do that last weekend?
No, I didn't have time.
You're slacking, brother.
I know.
What's that?
I know. I've been avoiding spoilers like the plague, and I can't wait to see Tom Cruise try to kill himself on a giant screen.
Is it? Okay. I know this is going to sound dumb, being the cinephile that you are, right?
Yes. Maybe.
Is it really as true as they say, like, all of the stunts he does?
Yes,
like,
it's insane.
He does everything. And
basically, so it started in Ghost Protocol when he climbed the building. That was really when the death-defying stunts began. And yeah, it's Tom Cruise doing them. And apparently, there's an underwater sequence in this one and a plane sequence in Final Reckoning. And a lot of people have genuinely told me they don't know how Tom Cruise is still alive.
So I saw a bit of like a, it was a story about the directors, writers, everybody with F1, the new F1 movie that Brad Pitt's going to star in. And they said that Tom Cruise was at the top of their list to be in F1, but they didn't want to do it because he's just too insane. Where Brad Pitt will every once in a while be like, yeah, I'm not doing that. Go get the stunt double. But they said they went away from Tom Cruise because they didn't want him in F1 cars and trashing F1 cars.
Probably that. And the insurance on the movie goes up so significantly because you have to insure your stars.
Right.
Like, and that's why, like, when Thunderbolts came out and when they were filming that, Florence Pugh wanted to jump off of a building. And it was, like, a huge deal. And she ended up being able to do it. And it looks awesome in the movie. And she actually did it. But it takes a long time to get insurance companies to clear your actors jumping off buildings or basically drowning themselves or jumping from one plane to another without a harness on. I mean, some of the things that he's done in Mission Impossible are insane. Because, like, in 1, 2, and 3, he wasn't doing death-defying stunts. It really started in Ghost Protocol, then Rogue Nation, Fallout, and then now Dead Reckoning and Final Reckoning.
That's just a lot. That's a lot.
By the way, speaking of Tom Cruise, last night during trivia, we had a Tom Cruise round.
Yeah.
I was so disappointed in my people at Hampline. I couldn't believe it.
You would have won trivia last night with that little bonus round for Tom Cruise.
100%.
Yeah.
I was so upset.
Yeah.
There was a Red Sox question, too, that people missed. Man. Or a Boston question. But I was upset with my people at trivia last night. Not the best performances from them.
Yeah.
They'll be better. They'll be better. Yeah, they'll they're going to go watch Tom Cruise movies. They'll
I was
going to
say, hopefully Tom Cruise's performance does not mimic what they did last night.
100%.
In the Tom Cruise
100%.
Run. I hear you. 3 hours of talk on the way, courtesy 92.9 FM, ESPN, and yours truly. Plenty to get to. We'll talk about the Eastern Conference Finals last night and why I'm, regardless of who gets through, I'm very concerned about either team playing against the Oklahoma City Thunder. That shouldn't be some, yeah, it's not me going out on a limb, but last night did a number on my thought process around the Indiana Pacers in particular. We also need to get to what is single-handedly one of the craziest stories today that I don't see enough people talking about. Howard Bryant was on a podcast talking about Cooper Flagg, who is the overwhelming favorite to be the number one pick to the Dallas Mavericks in the 2025 NBA draft. And Howard Bryant dropped some knowledge on us regarding Cooper Flagg and his monetary valuation while at Duke. And, you know, we've gotten used to the P.J. Haggerty $2.5 million and the $4 million to Coleman Hawkins last year and the $4 million, $3 million, like those types of numbers. This number that I will mention that Howard Bryant talked about and tied next to Cooper Flagg is insane. And it shows you why we're seeing changes to the college game and to the NBA draft in regards to who gets in, who withdraws, who stays in, that type of thing. At 5 o'clock, we'll talk a little bit about that with Kevin Sweeney. He is from Field of 68, also from Sports Illustrated, covering college basketball. We'll also get into the P.J. Haggerty situation. He committed to Kansas State on Monday. That'll be worth discussing with him. And then 6 o'clock, we'll bring on Eric Hasseltine, who is going to join us live from Orlando because he's a Disney adult. He's a Disney adult. Have you been to Disney?
Have I been to Disney? Yeah. Yes, many times.
I haven't. That's why I ask.
It's been a few years since I've been there, but there was a stretch where we went to Orlando pretty much every either October or summer. Big Halloween Horror Nights people at Universal Studios love Orlando. I just haven't been able to go in like 4 years. But
it feels like our guy Eric is there in the off season once a month. That's what it feels like.
Yeah, if the Grizzlies are not playing basketball, you can find Eric in Orlando 100%. I think I'm going to go back during the fall this year for Halloween Horror Nights. So
yep, but after Eric, we'll have the Blitz. We'll get to the Rewind, get you out of here for the week. All right, last night, Knicks took it to the Pacers at home. Just took it to them. I mean, it wasn't particularly close. 111-94. And if you just throw a dart at the box score for the Pacers last night, you're going to hit somebody who had a bad game. The only guy that I look at that had even a passable game last night for the most part, I'll give Obi Toppin and Benedict Mathurin a little credit, but in that starting lineup, the only guy that showed up last night was Pascal Siakam. And even for him, he's a guy who averages 20 points per game and has done that in the playoffs, only got to 15 last night, 5 for 13 from the field, 1 for 3 from 3. But Aaron Nesmith, 1 for 8. Miles Turner only took 3 shots, and he was off the floor a lot. Tyrese Halliburton, worst game of the playoffs thus far. 8 points. 8 points on 2 for 7, shooting 0 for 2 from 3. Andrew Nembhard, only 6. You're not going to be able to beat a team like the Knicks and close them out on their home floor if you have 4 of your 5 starters in single digits. I think that's a fair sentiment to share about last night's game. And with that, I do want to still make clear, I think the Pacers are going to close them out on their home floor. I think the Pacers are going to be in the NBA Finals. But with this type of performance, it did make me second guess, okay, can the Pacers really bother the Oklahoma City Thunder? If the Knicks can take Tyrese Halliburton out of the game completely, can take Aaron Nesmith and Miles Turner out of the game completely, what are the Oklahoma City Thunder going to do to this Pacers team in certain games in a 7-game series? So Listen, I always thought that the Thunder were going to win the NBA Finals. I know they're the overwhelming favorite. I've felt that way the entire time. But last night's game definitely gave me even more hesitation than I had previously about any team competing with the Thunder that's left.
I think the biggest thing that gives you hesitation is to beat the Thunder, and you saw it mostly in the Nugget series, you have to have so much consistency
yes.
from your entire team. You just can't have a bad game because they're going to punish you. And last night, I think the Knicks came out. They played with passion. They played like they were fighting for their lives, which they were. A lot of their star players stepped up.
Josh Hart was awesome.
Josh Hart was amazing, which literally before we got off air, we said, We feel like this is the type of game, a game five, that the home team, the Knicks, are going to win it. And we specifically said it feels like Josh Hart might have a heroic game. And then he did. It was really fun to see. Everybody knows I'm rooting for the Knicks in this series. That being said, the Pacers kind of beat themselves last night. Yep. They were turning the ball over so much, and they weren't efficient. They weren't getting to their spots. They weren't knocking down threes. They were missing a lot of twos. It's just, it was not, to be quite honest, it felt like the Pacers showed up and said, we're going to kind of go through the motions, and if they allow us to beat them, we'll beat them. But they knew that they would have other opportunities. That's a dangerous game to play, though, with a team like the New York Knicks, who can get hot very quickly. And they have the ability on defense to take somebody out of a game. When their best perimeter defender's locked down and they can't just get picked on with Jalen Brunson, they can be extremely effective. And that's why it's going to be an interesting series. And if Indiana doesn't close out that series in six,
it could get tricky.
It could get really, really tricky. But, yeah, it's – when you watch these two teams play, they are. It's been an exciting series. I think the Pacers match up pretty well with a team like the Thunder, but it's the consistency element that the Thunder have. It's every single game they show up with a historic defense. SGA is going to give you a great game every single time. Jalen Williams has seemingly figured it out over the last few games in the playoffs that he has now found some consistency. And that's the most difficult thing when it comes to the Thunder is you just cannot have a bad quarter or you're going to look up and you're going to be down 30. It happens so fast against the Thunder.
But Tyrese Halliburton, for most of this series, has averaged either scoring or assisting nearly 40% of his team's points. Last night, that was 21%. I mean, if you look at the Knicks, and I know they're built relatively well, they have some really good defensive pieces, they have some really good perimeter defenders, but if they're able to do that to Tyrese Halliburton, that film's going to get watched by the Oklahoma City, and I think they have more at their disposal defensively to really bother Tyrese Halliburton on a consistent basis. So that gave me some pause and gave me some real, real concern. Also, when it comes to the Pacers in general, I think that to this point in the playoffs, they've lost, what, four games? I don't want to make this such a big thing, right? I don't want to make this one loss as big as it is. But when you see performances like this, it really does, considering how, you know, historically great the Oklahoma City Thunder are, it does sort of make you think twice about what this NBA Finals is actually going to look like when we see it played.
For sure. And I think one worrisome thing if you're the Pacers is the Knicks made a few adjustments last night. I think one of the biggest ones is that they were picking them up full court and they were really attacking them defensively and they were basically protecting Jalen Brunson on the defensive end as well. And that adjustment really threw the Pacers off. And the Thunder are just going to be able to throw so many different looks at you on the defensive end. Like if one thing isn't working, they're going to be able to throw Alex Caruso on one of your bigs if needed. They're going to be able to throw. They just have all
these
guys.
Ask this question to yourself. They play 9 deep, 8 deep, the Thunder. Name me a weak link defensively, please. Like just
there,
try.
There
isn't
one.
Like that's what I'm, like cuz you would one. Like who if you were going to put a name on weak link at least in the starting lineup, who would that be? Like SGA probably, but SGA's gotten defensive player of the year votes. He's gotten all defensive team votes. Like who do you point to? Really on that entire roster, but namely in that starting lineup that you say, okay, that is the weak link. That's the guy that they're going to have to try to expose if they can expose anybody. I mean, obviously, there's no obvious answer, but I think when you look at their perimeter with Jalen Williams and Lou Dort, like the only guy you point to that will be playing on-ball defense is SGA, but he's great at it.
It's either SGA or Hartenstein, but both of them are still very good defenders.
And Hartenstein's not asked to just
defend the rim.
Yes,
because
so
Chet
it's
can
like
float.
It's like almost not even fair to put him in this conversation.
Right,
right. So, yeah, it's interesting because I think also when you look at the way the Pacers have gotten to this point, they have exploited mismatches every single round. Whether it was against the Bucks, trying to go after all of their perimeter guys when they don't really have a good perimeter defender. You know, you look at this series in particular, they have tried to pick on Karl-Anthony Towns and Jalen Brunson. if that's your thought process as to how you're going to run up the score, get to that 120-point mark or whatever the hell it is, I just don't think you can do that against the Oklahoma City Thunder. You have to move the ball. You have to run off ball on a consistent basis. You have to use your pace to your advantage. But I think the Thunder are good at nullifying all those things as well.
Yeah, it's. I expect the Thunder to be able to beat either of these teams. I think the Pacers might give them a better series than the Knicks would.
Sure.
I would be surprised if either team was able to win more than two games against the Thunder. But either way, I think it will be a fun NBA Finals, at least to watch. I just hope we don't see massive blowouts like we have in the rest of the Thunder series. It's just the margin of error against a team like the Oklahoma City Thunder is very small. And that's kind of what you're seeing in this Knicks-Pacers series. Like last night, the Knicks were really smart. And like Karl-Anthony Towns wasn't picking up cheap fouls. He was staying in the game. Jalen Brunson also wasn't picking up cheap fouls. They were able to stay hot on the offensive end. Cat was attacking the basket. He wasn't just settling for jumpers. He was using his size because there's really nobody on the Pacers that can stop him when he gets rolling downhill. He was fighting through injury. It was a really good game from Karl-Anthony Towns again. He's been good in this series.
Can I ask you a question, though? Did you see the post-game interview?
With Towns?
With Karl-Anthony Towns?
No.
He was talking with Charles and the crew. And Charles goes, man, you have to be better about staying on the floor. And Shaq was echoing those sentiments from the other side of the, you know, the other side. And he basically said, why do you pick up these stupid ticky-tack fouls? Like, why do you do that, Kat? And the answer, for those that didn't see this last night, the answer that Karl-Anthony Towns gave was only God knows. What? I know he's a corny guy, but why are you picking up these stupid fouls? Only God knows. You're down 3-2 in this Eastern Conference Finals series, and only God knows why you're committing these dumb ticky-tack frustration fouls. I don't know what it means either, but I found it was weird. It's so bizarre. I mean, it fits into that corny character that we know Karl-Anthony Towns is, but I mean, you have to be on the floor for your team to have success.
Yeah.
God should not be the only one knowing why you're committing stupid fouls.
I think another key element of last night's game was, and I know this is simple basketball talk, but the Knicks made their shots.
Sure.
And because they were making their shots, the Pacers weren't able to run. They weren't able to run last night.
Yeah.
They could not get out and run. And
they were also, they turned the ball over 20 times.
They did. They did. And, you know, the Knicks turned it over 15 times, which is not great, but it's not as many times as they had been throughout the series. But when you make your shots against the Pacers, they cannot run on you constantly, 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 constantly. And that's what they had been doing throughout this entire series. And that's why last night was just kind of the perfect game for the Knicks. You can replicate this. You've got to shoot about 50% from the field. You got to keep those turnovers down. You got to make sure that Karl-Anthony Towns and Jalen Brunson aren't picking up stupid fouls. And you're knocking down enough threes. That's the one thing. If they could improve upon anything last night, it would have been their three-point shooting. That wasn't really there. Jalen Brunson was really the only guy that was effective from three for the Knicks last night. So it's going to be interesting to see if they can extend this series to seven. I hope that they do. I love watching this Knicks team play. They're my favorite team left in the playoffs. I am truly rooting for them. It's just, I think the Pacers might have a little bit too much, and it's going to just be hard to keep them from running, I think, two games in a row.
And I think, generally speaking, especially on their home floor, I think, generally speaking, too, like the two things that I'm sort of going back and forth with after watching the Pacers last night is, one, was that just on the road, game five, you're up 3-1, you have an 11-point deficit at halftime, let's ride it in, go win on our home floor? Or was it the Knicks really made the adjustments to potentially come back against the Pacers? I've gone back and forth on those two thoughts, and I'm not quite sure. I think game six will tell it all.
I think the Knicks definitely made some adjustments that made the Pacers feel a little bit uncomfortable, defensively picking them a half court. I will say, though, the Pacers toward the end of the game did figure out something a little interesting, and they've done it a few times throughout the series. But Obi Toppin and going small against Karl-Anthony Towns was effective.
Yeah.
And like you said, Obi Toppin was one of the few guys that had a pretty good game for the Pacers. It was really Benedict Mathurin, Obi Toppin, and then Pascal Siakam. I won't even say he was good. He wasn't good.
He was fine.
He was fine. But Obi Toppin, there was a stretch where it was like, oh, there might be something here with the small ball. They've done it a few times. He's been in some of their closing out lineups. And I'm going to be curious to see if they decide to roll with that a little bit more. Because, like, Miles Turner wasn't great last night. Like, he only played 24 minutes. Obi Toppin played 18. I wonder if he's going to try to go small ball a little bit more moving forward. Did you see that weird post-game interview with Pascal Siakam?
Yeah, it was Greg Doyle.
Yeah, who is...
Who's been banned by the Fever for treating Caitlin Clark weird before last year's WNBA season. I don't even know what that exchange was. I was trying to listen in and see what Greg Doyle asked him, but Pascal did not like the line of questioning, very clearly.
Well, Pascal Siakam... Basically, Greg Doyle was like, why did they play harder than you? And he was like, because they did. He was like, how does that happen? He's like, because they played harder. It's basketball.
It's
it happens.
Kinda, remember Torian Prince at Baylor when they got upset by an Ivy League school?
Oh, he did the rebounding thing?
Yeah, the rebounding thing where he's like, how does that team from the Ivy League rebound the ball more than you? And Torian Prince is like, well, this is how you get a rebound. You jump up, you grab the ball with both hands, and that's considered a rebound. It's just a weird line of questioning to go that direction with it. Because I think Pascal did give him the lead-in to a certain extent, saying, I thought we got outplayed, out-hustled, all that.
Yes.
Greg Doyle's like, how do you let that happen? It's human nature sometimes. We're up 3-1. Like, it was bizarre. But Greg Doyle's kind of known for that in Indianapolis.
Yeah, yes. It was a classic Game 5 team that's down 3-1 at home. Rallies, has a great game. They're knocking down shots. They're playing their asses off.
For all intents and purposes, over at half, just because 11-point lead and the Pacers don't have the same gumption to really come back in that particular game on the road.
Right.
The Knicks have to rally behind the home crowd and go win.
It was interesting. Like, that fourth quarter, though, from the Knicks, I know the game felt like it was kind of over by then, but they were bad in the fourth. And that's why, like, it's really interesting. Did the Pacers kind of figure out something defensively to be able to slow down the Knicks, or was it just the Knicks took
the
foot off the gas?
Well, the Pacers were terrible offensively, too.
They were.
21-21.
The Knicks couldn't hit water if they fell out of a boat in the fourth quarter. And that's just, that's what's happened in this series over the entire series, is that fourth quarter has been where the Knicks have gone to die against the Pacers. So I'm really excited to see what happens in Game 6. I'm so happy, though, we are getting a Game 6.
Yes.
Bing bong.
Two gentlemen sweeps would have just been
brutal.
Not that fun, especially with the way this series has played. This was the only real blowout, you know what I mean? So it's like it feels like we'd be done a disservice if it didn't get to at least 6. But regardless, something I've been thinking about. And to be fair, on the show, I have been guilty of bringing this topic up. But I have a question about it. So the overwhelming majority, and really what I think, is that the best matchup we could see in the NBA Finals is the Pacers, who play deep, who run, who have a lot of pace, against the Thunder, who do the same things, probably a little bit more talented, and they are historically unbelievably good. They're great. They won 68 games. They're 80-18 in the season so far, an 80% winning percentage. But while I think that's the best matchup we could have, I don't think the TV ratings are going to be good. Two small markets, two teams that I don't think are overly liked by the rest of the NBA fandom. People don't really enjoy the Thunder. People don't necessarily enjoy the Pacers. The star power, you have SGA, but outside of that, do you really tune into a game to watch Tyrese Haliburton? All those reasons make people think, and make me think, that these TV ratings are going to be down. But I had to check myself to a certain extent, Connor, because I ask myself, why does it matter? If I feel like this matchup is going to be good, and it's the best we could possibly ask for considering the teams left, why does it matter what the TV ratings look like? And I also ask myself the question, when did we all become TV executives and worry about these TV ratings? Because I think, correct me if I'm wrong, this is kind of a relatively new phenomenon.
Feels like it.
Because we have not historically sat and analyzed TV ratings and made them the end-all, be-all of the success of your league. Because I think that's how the NBA and people outside the NBA, people talking about what these ratings are going to look like, that's how they're going to paint it. When did that happen and why do we do it? Do you get what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Why, when and why do we turn ourselves into TV executives when it comes to the NBA finals and things like that.
I do not know. I think it's silly. I think it's silly. Here's the truth of the matter. The NBA signed a 11-year, $76 billion with a B.
Record, by the way.
Billion-dollar deal with Disney, ESPN, NBC, Peacock, and Amazon. They're fine. They don't care about TV. Like,
and you know
they
what?
Want people to tune in and watch. They want the popularity of the game to continue.
Sure.
But it feels like they're pretty much set in their place of American sports. Football is king, and then you got basketball, and then baseball's right
behind.
And
here's the other thing I thought about, too. For people that think that these ratings are going to affect the bottom line by the time they re-up on another contract, no. By the time they get to their next contract, regardless of what these NBA Finals TV ratings and the playoff ratings look like, which I think for the most part are going to be slightly up, not any unbelievable jump from last year. By the time they get to re-up their next contract, this one's just starting, it's going to be another record-breaking deal. It's going to be more billions.
Probably so.
So I just find it weird how we go about these conversations. I do think, especially for the NBA, the ratings conversation came about sort of in that 2020 COVID time,
yes.
The racial inequality time, in the bubble. You know, we have Clay Travis and all these guys saying, you go woke, you go broke, and everybody's been hyper-analyzing them since. But I don't know why that continues to be analyzed in the same way. We're out of that time where we've moved on. We still are sort of in that mindset of, oh, are they up? Are they down? What does it look like? Is the NBA popular? I don't think we need to be in that space anymore.
Ratings, box office, any of that stuff that is similar is a way for people who dislike a product, they can look at something
to
simple
get some confirmation
and say,
bias.
Look, this shows confirmation bias exactly. And what I think can be sometimes disingenuous about it is they'll compare it to past years when we know in 2025 and really since, you know, COVID, when viewing is different.
Yes.
How you view things are different.
100%.
You have far more options than you used to. So comparing ratings in 2025 to 2005 is silly because there are so many more things to watch right now. The NBA is still really popular. Is it getting as much ratings as it used to? No. Would this NBA Finals, if it doesn't include the Knicks, get a ton of ratings? Probably not. It will probably be one of their lower viewed NBA Finals in a while. That is true. I don't think, though, that that is necessarily showing a weakness of the NBA.
Right.
I think it's just you're going to have two small market teams potentially be in the NBA Finals. That being said, that also doesn't mean it's going to be a bad product or that it's bad basketball. It's just not big markets.
It's going to be painted as, by the people that don't necessarily like the NBA, as an unhealthy spot that the NBA's in. But I don't think these ratings, if it is the Pacers and Thunder, which we do expect, I don't think that's indicative of the health of the game and where we're headed with the game.
I don't think so either.
That's my opinion.
I still think the basketball that we watch now is probably the highest level it has been. It's more athletic than it's ever been. The shot-making is unbelievable. The teams are more talented than they ever have been. They need expansion because there's too many talented players. We've talked about it before. The game has evolved well. Is the three-point shooting thing something to keep an eye on?
Is the style something to...
Maybe. But when you look at the teams that are left right now, they don't live and die by the three. They live and die by playing team basketball, depth, defense first. That's how these teams have been successful. Making mid-range shots. Like, the mid-range shot is very much alive with some of these teams. So it's. I think that the ratings thing is an easy way for people to point to something and say, go woke, go broke, or something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, just look at box office stuff and anything
and
with Disney or Star
here's
Wars.
The other thing.
It's people look at it all the time.
We always talk about whether it's college football or NFL or what have you. Like, these same people that will down the NBA ratings will also, in the same sentence, talk about how leagues don't have parity. Right? They'll say, oh, there's not enough parity. It's not exciting. We know how it's going to end. Well, in the NBA, we're in a historical spot. We've never had this. First time ever there's been seven different champions in seven straight years. It's the definition of parity. So those people that sort of continually talk about parity and how it makes other sports better, why aren't you saying the same things about the NBA? Just find that interesting. Just something to think about. Now, we need to go ahead and transition. Howard Bryant was talking about Cooper Flagg and how much money he made at Duke. How much money did Cooper Flagg make at Duke? We'll talk about it on the other side. It's Back into the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN. We know that NIL valuations are absolutely out of control in a good way, in a lot of ways, to see players make the amount of money that they're making right now after years and years of years of not being paid this money. But Bob Costas, everybody knows Bob Costas, sat down with a longtime journalist, author Howard Bryant. He's done columns with ESPN, ESPN.com, ESPN the magazine, all that. But I think most people know who Howard Bryant is as well. But they had a sit down in front of a crowd in New York City, and they were talking about Cooper Flagg, the presumptive number one overall pick to the Dallas Mavericks in the 2025 NBA draft. They're talking about how much money he made at Duke in his one season. Now, the number to me is staggering. Not because I think that Cooper Flagg's not worth that. Not because, you know, I think that this is a number that we're never going to see again. It has to do with just the amount of money we always talk about. We talk about P.J. Hagerty, $2.5 million, 1.3 last year. We talk about what was it, Great Osabor at Washington State, $4 million. Howard Bryant, at about the 51-minute mark in this conversation with Bob Costas, when he was asked this question, said he didn't make $5 million, didn't make $10 million, didn't make $15 million, didn't make $20 million, didn't make $25 million, but he had contracts that valued in his 1 year at Duke $28 million. Howard Bryant said he had $13 million worth of a deal with New Balance and $15 million with Fanatics. Now, what is unclear about it is the amount of time with which those contracts are dragged out to. It could be 3 years worth 15. It could be 2 years worth 15. It could be 1 year. He got $13 and $15 million from Fanatics and from New Balance. But either way, that number blew my mind when I read it today in CBS Sports. Could not even fathom it. Now, what is clear about that number is this is the first of many going into the future that is going to look like this. They can get their shoe deals done. They can get their merchandise deals done. And they have people in their corner, their agents and their marketing professionals doing that for them. But Connor, when we talk about Cooper Flagg, we know the type of talent he was. We know that he commanded a lot of money. But did you even have any idea it was in excess of $28
million? No, that number was staggering to see. And my favorite part of the story over on CBS.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Attention sports enthusiasts, keep the adrenaline pumping and elevate your game day with Chumba Casino. It's completely free to play, no purchase necessary. Whether you're cheering from the stands, on the move, or relaxing at home, Chumba Casino brings the thrill of social casino directly to your fingertips. Experience the ultimate social casino adventure with reels of casino-style games offering hundreds of exciting options to choose from and fresh new releases every week. There's always something new and thrilling to explore, from action-packed social slots and classic blackjack to engaging bingo and solitaire. The fun never stops. Plus, enjoy generous daily login bonuses and a fantastic free welcome bonus to kickstart your social gaming journey. Dive into the excitement. Discover a world where you can play for your chance to redeem some serious prizes and have a blast along the way. Don't miss out. What are you waiting for? Join now and immerse yourself in nonstop fun and adventure with Chumba Casino. Get in on the action today at ChumbaCasino.com and make every day a Chumba day. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus.
PBS is they include that when he revealed the number, the audience and gasped. Bob Cosby gasped. They were like, what did you just say? $28 million is insane for a college player to be making. Now, you have to have the talent like Cooper
sure.
Flagg to reach that number. But to your point, I do think that you're, as the years go on, you are going to see that number increase. And I do think that it's going to cause players to stay in college for longer, which is probably in the long run going to boost college athletics,
yes.
I think. It's going to be a good thing.
And they may be more talented and better by the time they reach the NBA, which
right.
is a worthy
and
discussion.
We're already seeing it the last few years go into effect. People are it's because it's – I think where you're really seeing it is middle second round, late second round of the NBA draft.
Well, late first round even. I've seen some
A few
of
guys
it.
Late first round as well. Basically, if you're not in the lottery, if you're not projected lottery – It is now being shown that there's a chance that you're going to go back to college.
Yes. So,
I mean, Yoxel Lindenborg, for example.
That's a great example. He's only got, what, one more year of eligibility? Here are the stats from this year's NBA draft, the early entrants. It's the lowest number of early entrants since 2015. The peak was 363 in 2021. They're down to 106 early entrants.
I think last year they had 195.
106.
Yeah.
And, you know, I saw a couple of guys in the SEC return to school that I was kind of surprised by because both these guys were probably top 25, at least first-round picks. LeBaron Filon heads back to Bama, and he probably could have been a top 25 pick, to be completely real with you. Maybe top 20. And Tahad Pettiford is heading back to Auburn. And I know everybody's not Cooper Flagg, but I think showing the amount of money that Cooper Flagg is getting – is proof of the day and age and the era we're living in, where being a late first round guy in the past, it's like, I'm going right now. This is my opportunity to go get a guaranteed contract worth millions of dollars a year. Whereas now, you can go back to college for probably the same valuation that you got to be a late first round pick. It used to be second round guys later in the draft, undrafted free agents, that had really good years, that wanted to test the NBA draft waters, they would come back. We have now creeped into the first round with a lot of these conversations. And I think Yoxel Lindenborg is a great example of that as well. But we're seeing less and less early entrants, and we're seeing a lot more guys go back to college basketball. And to me, I think that is relatively healthy for both sports. Some people would say, well, the NBA needs that talent as soon as they're ready to go, as soon as they have a chance, they could develop them and get them in their building. Obviously, it's healthy for college basketball because you're going to have more players staying for more years and more star players staying for more years. But I would make the case for the NBA having less early interest is a good thing because a lot of these guys in the past that were 18 and 19 years old, they either needed a lot of runway to be able to become the player that they wanted to be, or they never became that player because they got there too fast and they were – you know, overwhelmed by the speed of the NBA and otherwise. I think for the NBA purposes, having less early entrants, I think you'll have more NBA-ready talent in the middle of the draft than you have in the past. You'll have more guys that have more experience that have played more years. So I view this, to be honest with you, on both sides, as a good thing, as a good thing for the NBA and college basketball.
I think it can be a good thing. It is still, in my opinion, a little dangerous right now because we are still in the era of no guardrails.
Yes.
And when this amount of money is being thrown around, or this potential money is being thrown around, it can lead to some of the poor decision-making we have seen in the transfer portal and things like that. It's what I found curious, too, was in their conversation, what did you make about their points about education no longer having any value and how it's unfair to the college student who is sitting next to an athlete whose parents have worked multiple jobs to put them into college? I'm going to be honest. I don't think that is much of a valid point about this.
I fully agree that we have completely thrown down the mask of college athletics being anything about academics. It's gone.
I feel like it's been like that for a very long time.
Pre-NIL, at least we had like this, we put this mask up and
mirage.
The mirage, whatever it is. Now it's not even a discussion, but I would say to them, it's always been athletics first with Division I athletes.
Right, 100%.
For me, it was. For God's sakes, I went into my first sort of big athletics meeting. Who was the old athletic director? Former athletic director, went to Arkansas State. I'm losing my mind here. But the first message that was given to us by our athletic director at the University of Memphis, he's like, I'm tired of the student-athlete moniker. And this was pre-NIL. This was 2013, 2014, thereabouts. He goes, pre-NIL, all that. He goes, I'm tired of the student-athlete moniker. You know, I think it's getting in the way of the thought process you should have behind being great in your sport. This point forward, I'm going to refer to you guys as athlete students. That was the first meeting I had at the University of Memphis regarding my sport and how much better we needed to get. So, the one thing I'd say to them is that mirage has been a mirage for since the 80s, 90s, probably, since you can make a lot of money playing professional sports, whether it be football, basketball, and otherwise. So I don't know I agree with you. I don't think that's a valid point. I realize that we don't even act like academics are a part of it anymore, but yeah, it's always been that way. It really has.
Yeah, that's Tom Bowen, by the way.
Tom Bowen.
Yeah, Tom Bowen was who would have done
that.
Yeah,
he called us athlete students.
Yeah, for those which things. Sounds like something Tom Bowen would probably say. 100%. When we're talking about these athletes who are making, and Cooper Flagg's an extreme example, but let's for example say someone who would make something like PJ Haggerty would, like a two to three million dollars. That's the priority. That's the priority. It's their education still will have value, but I think it would be silly to pretend like they're going to college for the education. They're there for the money, and they're there to try to make it to professional sports. That is why they are at a university and at a college. It's not to sit in a classroom. I think education for non-athletes is still massive. That still matters to a high degree. I think for a lot of student-athletes who don't have pro aspirations or don't have NIL deals,
it could
in
be
the
important
millions,
to them.
It is still very important to them. To try to pull together all student-athletes
right.
and talk about education.
And to say it's unfair for the normal student sitting in the class with them.
It doesn't make any sense to me, because that's not why they're there. And we don't need to pretend like that's why they were there.
P.J. Haggerty didn't go to four different schools in 4 years for academics.
Correct. He wasn't like the academics at the University of Memphis is necessarily like, no, it's for money. And it's so he can try to get to the next level. We don't have to do this pretend anymore. I went to Tennessee. I had classes with football players. They were there for 1 week. Y'all.
If they ever showed up after that, it was for class checks because they didn't want to run after practice.
They would show up sometimes for class checks. Somebody would come by, see they were there, and then they would leave. And then, I'm not kidding, somebody who looked like me walked in the classroom, sat down, and took notes for them.
I don't think that's an overwhelmingly good thing.
But it's not happening.
It's not new.
It's not.
You know what I mean?
It's not an NIL specific thing.
NIL coming along did not make these guys take their focus eye off the ball with academics. Now, I think that happened in the 70s, 80s, 90s, just like it's happening.
Now, one thing I do agree with what they discussed was there can be a level of corruption that can be present with NIL and this amount of money being thrown around.
For sure.
And that is why...
And guys being taken advantage
of. The guardrails need to be put in place. It's for the schools, yes, but I think for these student-athletes, it needs to be put in place. There needs to be programs where they know how to invest this money, how to take care of this money. We all know the famous 30 for 30 when it talks about players who get a huge amount of money all of a sudden and it's gone in a few years. There needs to be processes in place to help these student-athletes who a lot of which came from not a ton of money and all of a sudden are met with millions of dollars. That is a huge change in lifestyle that is going to be difficult for any 18 to 22-year-old to handle.
I think, too, with that exact situation you're talking about, when we talk about education, I think that athletic departments, and I know they're already overstretched in certain places, and they don't have enough money to, you know, the University of Memphis, you don't necessarily have a bunch of money to throw money at education for the players with the amount of money they're getting. But I think every university, if they have these high-paid guys, needs to take it upon themselves to have some level of education with taxes, with, you know, what they're going to have to spend their money on with budgeting. I think they need to do a better job of that when we're talking about the education realm.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, and I think some schools have already taken it upon themselves to do that, but a lot of them have not. A lot of them have not. Now, elsewhere in college athletics, we have Brett Yormark still at Big 12 spring meetings. Of course, he's the Big 12 commissioner, and everybody's talking about the college football playoff. I gave you my opinion yesterday on the college football playoff. I don't really care at this point because we're changing things to change them. The Big Ten and the SEC have the final say. They're going to line their pockets more than they already have. They have the ultimate sort of decision-making power in this situation. So I was always taught control the controllable. There's no control outside of those two big conferences, so I have given up. I don't really care. 16, 18, 24, 12, straight seating, automatic qualifiers, all at large. I don't care. I want to make that clear. Now, Brett Yormark at spring meetings said that there's real momentum for the 5 automatic qualifiers and 11 at large. So you'd have the 5 top conference winners, then you'd have 11 at large bids, which, of course, Big Ten, SEC would make up a majority of those in a given year. But here's the quote he gave. That I think Brett Yormark, and I know he's a younger commissioner, I know he's just got the job, he's done a good job with the Big 12, got him a new TV deal, kept them afloat, Pac-12 died while he didn't, all that's true. But here's what he had to say. Certainly the public is voting yes for the 5-11, which I think is critically important. Yes, the Big 10, the SEC are leading the discussions, but with leading those discussions, they have a great responsibility that goes with it. To do what's right for college football and to not do anything that just benefits two conferences. Then he followed that with saying, I have a lot of faith in the process and I think we'll land in the right place. That was Brett Yormark, the commissioner of the Big 12. Well, Brett, listen, I love that. I love that you have this hope that the Big 10 and the SEC will bend the knee and help out the less fortunate. I love that you have that opinion, but just read the context clues and you'll realize why what you said is completely off base. It's not even close to what's going to happen. Greg Sankey at SEC spring meetings this week did his best to act like the SEC was put upon. What did he talk about? Not losing is more important than strength of schedule. You can agree with that, you can disagree with that, but what he is doing when he says that is saying the SEC deserves more, the Big Ten deserves more of a say in the college football playoff, and I am disappointed with the way things have gone up to this point. So that means he's going to change it or try to change it to help himself out. Also, let's be very clear about the more important point. Greg Sankey at SEC spring meetings also said that his member institutions, their ADs, presidents alike, have asked him on multiple occasions, why are we a part of the NCAA? And when he asks that and tells you that information, he is leading you down the path to making it very clear to you that the Big Ten and the SEC have no interest of being part of the NCAA for much longer. They want to break off and rule their own sport and have all the decision-making power. So, Brett, I get what you're saying. I wish I could say the same thing, but I'm not dumb. You know, I know what has happened this week and what has been said and what that's going to lead to. So I get why you're trying to get out in front of the media and say, you know, they have a responsibility to do what's best for college football. But I think, you know, deep down, they're not going to do that. They're going to do what's best for the two conferences, which is not what you want them to do. They're going to start that invitational. They're going to move on and make all these championships below them not matter as much because they're elsewhere running their own championships. We know where this is headed, and to act like we don't, I think, is disingenuous and does the public a disservice.
It reminds me of trickle-down economics. It's like, it's the money's going to get to us. They're not going to keep it for themselves. There's no way. It's going to be good for college football, right? Right? They're definitely not going to break off and ruin the NCAA and college football as we know it. They're gonna make sure those games get to us. They're going to make sure that we still have some say. It's going to matter.
And then in 3 years,
those
when they ultimately
don't like to stay in power as much, right, there's no way they're going to do
but
that.
But in 3 years, Brett Yormark's going to look up, even with how well he's done with the Big 12, he's going to have his pants down. He's going to wonder, what the hell happened? I thought they were going to do what's best for college football and college athletics. Well, you thought wrong.
What do you mean the CEO gave themselves a bonus?
Yeah, you thought wrong, man. That's why I said what I said yesterday about not caring about the college football playoff and where it's going to head. Because
I
know who's making the decisions, and I know what they have on the front of their mind and what they want to make happen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Oh, that's such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Attention sports enthusiasts. Keep the adrenaline pumping and elevate your game day with Chumba Casino. It's completely free to play. No purchase necessary. Whether you're cheering from the stands, on the move, or relaxing at home, Chumba Casino brings the thrill of social casino directly to your fingertips. Experience the ultimate social casino adventure with reels of casino-style games offering hundreds of exciting options to choose from and fresh new releases every week. There's always something new and thrilling to explore. From action-packed social slots and classic blackjack to engaging bingo and solitaire. The fun never stops. Plus, enjoy generous daily login bonuses and a fantastic free welcome bonus to kickstart your social gaming journey. Dive into the excitement. Discover a world where you can play for your chance to redeem some serious prizes and have a blast along the way. Don't miss out. What are you waiting for? Join now and immerse yourself in nonstop fun and adventure with Chumba Casino. Get in on the action today at ChumbaCasino.com and make every day a Chumba day. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus TNC supply.
To help themselves.
I really like the quote that Sonny Dykes gave.
Let's hear it.
I really liked it when he said that the notion that conferences would get more than one automatic qualifier doesn't make any sense. Here's what he had to say. All anybody wants is to look up at the end of the year and see the best team competing for a national championship. I don't think that guaranteed bids does that. That's not how it works in pro football. That's not how it works in any other sport. The AFC West gets four bids and the NFC Central only two. That stuff doesn't make any sense. It's not good for the sport. I don't think it's good for the fans. It's not good for the game.
Okay.
I think he nailed it.
Okay. All right. That's his take. Again, I've given up on takes when it comes to college
right.
football.
Right. I wish that quote ultimately
I
mattered.
I wish it meant something.
But it's correct. The NFL isn't like, oh, that conference sucked. They're not getting, or that division's
they
terrible.
They need representation.
Right.
Yeah, no. Either way,
NFC South's not very good. Let's leave them out completely.
I just wanted to take this time to say, Brett Yormark, I love that you have this hope that the Big Ten and the SEC
spoiler alert
are going to do the best by you. But I'm going to tell you right now, get rid of that hope.
Yeah, go ask the Pac-12 how that worked out.
Stop hoping. It's not going to help you. You know, I think this is one of those situations that we always talk about. Expect the worst, because that's the most likely outcome. Hope for the best. Hope for the best.
Here's the reality.
But expect what's going to ultimately happen.
People with power and money want to make more money and gain more power. They don't give it up. They only want to gain more.
They don't slow down. They speed up.
Correct.
Pretty simple.
And if you need an example, go look at the entire history of man.
Yes. Fair point. Fair point. Hour number two is on the way. And we're going to open it up talking some college basketball, some Cooper Flagg, some PJ Haggerty with Kevin Sweeney. He's from Field of 68. Also, he writes for Sports Illustrated. He's on the other side.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.